ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरु सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धागोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं मह मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. We have been discussing the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. In our last class, we spoke some most important points, not only in spiritual life, but that which is profoundly useful even in a family or societal life. First of all, we discussed about the importance of role models. Even when a person is performing karma yoga, he does it before realization for the self-knowledge, for God realization. But after he reaches the goal, some of them continue to still function in this world so that they enjoy themselves as it were. Because when they serve, first of all, there is no motive. Secondly, when they are serving, they also act as role models to the entire society. We also give the examples of Sri Ramakrishna, etc. Now, if the society is behaving in an odd manner, abnormal manner, and according to statistics, more than 40% of the people are insane, some of the influences can directly be attributed to lack of role models, either in the parents or in the leaders of the society, or even more important, in the life of their own religious leaders. And the Lord himself has been giving his own example. As we all know, God is eternal, infinite. He doesn't lack anything. He has been called by a very beautiful name called Purna. It is perfect, it is full. And yet, he incarnates himself in this world. One of the reasons is to show by example how each and every human being, irrespective of whatever religious path he or she is following, how to live in this world. And even though it is not necessary for him to behave in truth and as a moral leader, he does all these things to set up the most wonderful role model. He himself, the Lord himself, says, I have nothing to gain, as well I have nothing to lose. And yet, I continue to work in this world because if I misbehave, then it is a very peculiar thing. When a person is behaving properly, very few people try to emulate him. But when a person is trying to misbehave, he will have umpteen number of fans. So the Lord has to be extremely careful about this. So all realized souls who remain on this earth, who are called Jivan Muktas, do exactly the same thing. Therefore, all wise people, the Lord says, should work to set an example, as well as for Loka Sangraha. And then another reason he gives, there are ignorant people, and these people do not know what is right, but they are convinced certain way of behavior is the most righteous way. The Lord is giving an advice, let not the wise man unsettle the minds of ignorant people who are attached to action. Obviously here, attachment to the action means it is not karma yoga. Purely in a selfish manner, they will be acting. So the Lord advises even the wise person should engage himself in every action, himself fulfilling them with devotion, to set an example that one should not take to the life of inaction, even though the person himself or herself might not require. I cited the example of Holy Mother. She used to do so much of japa. When asked, why do you need to do so much of japa? The Holy Mother has emphatically said, it's not for my sake. If I do so much, at least people will be able to emulate me and do a little bit. Now, the Lord is coming to the very crux of the matter. Whether a person is wise or unwise, every action is done by only two instruments, the body and the mind. Every personality, when we analyze, will be consisting of three parts. Western science, Western philosophy divides personalities into two parts. That's why it is called dichotomous. The mind and the body, the body and the soul. The body obviously includes the mind. It is the mind is considered by many people in the West as the soul, as if it is the natural quality of the mind to have consciousness, awareness. Whereas Vedanta makes conclusive proof that man's nature is trichotomous. It means it has three parts, body and mind, which are inert, consciousnessless, but they behave as if they have consciousness. It is for that means they are borrowing it. They do not have it, but they behave as if they have it. So they must be borrowing it. And if there is a borrower, there must be a lender also. If there is a lending bank, the lending bank itself must be borrowing it from some other bank. So the Atman, the mind plus the body, this is the threefold division of every individual according to the Vedanta. Now Vedanta, before Vedanta became prominent, there are six schools of Indian philosophy, and one of them has become one of the most important schools of philosophy. It is called Sankhya, and especially the cosmological view of Sankhya has been bodily lifted up and adopted by Vedanta. In fact, by almost all the schools of philosophy adopted. So according to Sankhya, there are two realities. The Purusha, which is the conscious principle, which is also called the 25th principle, and 24 other principles, which are the offspring of Prakriti. Prakriti means inert nature. The only problem with this Sankhya is there are two eternal principles. According to Vedanta, there cannot be two eternal principles. The logic used here is if anything is to be eternal, eternal means changeless, it has to be infinite. And if there are two infinites, then that is illogical. Infinite can only be one. So whatever is eternal must be infinite, and the infinite must be one. Obviously, the Sankhya school of philosophy has updated itself with a new name, and that's what we call Vedanta. Now, Vedanta uses the cosmological knowledge of the Sankhya philosophy to the greatest extent. So here is the Bhagavan Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, what he did was he harmonized both these, and he said that the Purusha and the Prakriti are not two eternally separate principles. But Prakriti is the lower part, lower nature of Purusha. And Purusha is the higher nature of Prakriti. But when we are talking about the world of transaction called Vyavaharika Satya, then there is a soul, there is a body and mind. Now this Prakriti, without any change, it transforms itself into what is called Mahat, then Ahankara, mind, etc., 24 other principles, the lowest of which is what we call the five gross elements. And all the action that has been done, that is being done, will be done only by the Prakriti. And we have to clearly understand here by Prakriti means body and mind complex. What is the role of the pure consciousness called Purusha? Whenever an action is there, I already had hinted about it. Purusha means pure consciousness, pure awareness, pure knowledge. So unless the body, mind, by nature which are inert, if they have to function, they will have to borrow this consciousness, this knowledge. So the reflection of the pure consciousness onto the mirror of the Prakriti in the form of mind appears to be as though the mind by nature, naturally, is endowed with consciousness. But what is the proof that that is not the truth? Because human experience has been divided into three parts, the waking, the dream, and the dreamland. And we can clearly see this simple fact that the body mind appear to be endowed with consciousness during the waking time as well as dreaming time. But when it is in the state of sleep called Sushupti, at that time there is no relationship, as if the Jivatma, the individual soul, is without any either body consciousness or mind consciousness. Now the question is, if there is no body mind and still consciousness, so that is an independent principle. If the body mind has got consciousness, then with the absence of the body mind identity, the consciousness that belongs to body mind should naturally, automatically be absent in the deep state. And that is why, upon waking up, every soul says, first two things it says, I did not have any experience, because every experience comes only through the body and mind. There is a very important fact, including the Nirvikalpa Samadhi, should come only through the help of the mind. So, if there is no mind, there should be no consciousness at all. And yet, pure consciousness is there in the form of, I did not know anything. This is the first factor. Secondly, if there were to be body-mind, then we seem to derive so much of experience in the form of happiness as well as unhappiness. But look here, when we are in deep sleep state, we are extremely happy and we are in a state of non-duality. And we are extremely happy. That is why it is aptly named Anandamaya Kosha. So what is the point we are discussing now? Every individual soul, called Jivatma in Sanskrit, is consisting of three layers, three personalities, trichotomous. Pure consciousness, or I would say, reflection of the pure consciousness, called awareness, plus the mind, plus the body. Now, all the actions done are done during the waking and dream states. And that is when the body and mind seemingly endowed with consciousness seem to acquire three qualities: the quality of knowing, the quality of desiring, and the quality of acting. So most of us, and we are all called ignorant people, ajnanis from the Vedantic point of view, seem to think that it is the body and mind which are active, and the jivatma is completely identified with body and mind. So whatever body does, whatever the mind does, the person thinks, I am sitting, I am eating, I am hearing, I am seeing, I am tasting, I am smelling, I am touching. And when this consciousness is identified with the mind, what are the experiences? I am a knower, I am an ignorant person, I am a knowledgeable person, I am enthusiastic, I am dull, I am stupid, I am an idiot, I am happy, I am unhappy. Mind you, these qualities do not belong to the body. Body can only do certain physical things. But the experience of converting these physical activities into experiential feelings is the state of the mind. So when an ignorant person is completely identified with his body and mind, he thinks, I am acting, I am knowing, I am desiring, I am experiencing. The act of knowing and wishing is called kartrutva, doership. And the experience of I am happy, I am unhappy is called enjoyership. And these are the two facets of ignorance. With one facet, I attribute to myself doership. With the other facet, I attribute to myself enjoyership. And so the jiva, the individual soul, goes on swinging between happiness and unhappiness, knowing and being ignorant, and that is called bondage, samsara bandhana. So here follows a beautiful discussion separating these two. So what is the difference between the wise man and the ignorant man? The enlightened man, the man who knows I am the self, the capital S, has no sense of agency, no sense of enjoyership, and is therefore free from bondage. The ignorant man, on the other side, he thinks he is the knower, he is the desirer, he is the enjoyer, and so he is the agent, and he has therefore bondage arising from the good and bad fruits of his actions. The way to attain detachment, that is the next topic the Lord brings out here. Karma Yoga means perform all actions, but know for certain that you are not neither the knower, nor the desirer, nor the enjoyer. Just then, what way the enlightened person does? He thinks there is this body, there is this mind, and they are doing these things. I have nothing to do with them. The way to attain self-realization is to develop this particular spiritual attitude of the mind. The way to attain to this detachment is not by keeping quiet without doing anything, but by discharging all one's duties, but surrendering their fruits and the sense of agency and enjoyership to the divine law. This is called liberation. Non-attached work of karma yoga and discriminative understanding of one's own basic nature as the completely, eternally unattached self is called jnana yoga, or not at all contradictory, but complementary. For non-attachment in work is impossible unless one practices simultaneously the understanding that one is basically the unattached self. This idea we had explored earlier without doing anything, being inactive. It is impossible for a person to go beyond action. To attribute to oneself action, and action manifests, let's always remember, in the form of I know, I desire, and I enjoy. That is called bondage. To get rid of this bondage, one has to perform nishkama karma. And again, let us recollect, even though we had discussed this point very elaborately, nishkama karma is comprised of three conditions. First condition, one must discharge one's duties with the greatest concentration, with the greatest joy. Second, he must bring in complete concentration of the mind and at the same time not at all desire the fruits of the actions. Third, it should be done with two particular attitudes. Whatever a karma yogi wants to do should be done with Ishvara Arpana Buddhi, with the attitude that I am doing it not for my sake, but for pleasing the Divine Lord, so that he can grant me the discriminative knowledge that I am not the body-mind complex. If you squeeze the very essence of Vedanta, as the great Shankaracharya had put it earlier, the Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. To put it in simple way, in the context of our present topic, that I am the Self, that is the only truth, the body and mind are but just instruments for me to realize this grand truth. So, except in the case of a few rare aspirants, the practice of this discriminative understanding about the self, without the support of unselfish work, will end inevitably in pure idleness and failure to do one's duty. That's what the Lord is clarifying to Arjuna. If you think you will attain to the highest self, just putting on some ochre robes and sitting in the forest, blowing your nose in the name of pranayama, you will be profoundly mistaken. You will be going down and down clay or rocks. One who fails to do his duty and runs after ways of life that are alien to his inherent nature and aptitude only incurs sin. For to do what one's duty, what one ought to do, is the greatest virtue. And avoiding one's duty out of a sense of idleness or cupidity or base passion is nothing but sin. Sin means ignorance. And as such a person, day by day, he goes into the mire of sin. Now, I will quote some of these shlokas with their meaning, where with this background, we are in a better position to understand. Prakrute priyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudhatma kartahamiti manyate. All actions, O Arjuna, are performed in all cases without exception merely by the gunas, qualities of nature. But he whose mind is deluded by egoism thinks, I am the doer. Whatever the body does, he says, I am the doer. Whatever the mind does, he says, I am the doer. Whatever the body experiences, he says, I am the experience. And whatever happens, happy, unhappy, good and evil, that also he feels, I am the doer. But then, the Lord is very clearly separating this kind of people. Who are the people? Ahankara Vimudhatma. First of all, he is full of egotism, and his ego has no relationship with his true self. That is also a possibility. I am the Atma. I am the true self. That is called enlightenment. But the man says simply, I am the body. I am the, but what about the wise person? Tattva vittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo guna guneshu vartante iti matva na sajjate. But he, the wise man, who knows the truth, O mighty arm, about the divisions of the qualities of the nature and their functions, and he who knows that the gunas of the prakriti of nature as senses move amidst gunas as objects, is not attached. Here we have a beautiful expression how the gunas of the prakriti are divided into two clear classifications. First of all, it is the gunas of the prakriti which manifest as the sense organs. And again, it is the gunas of the, again, prakriti which manifest for the sense organs to act upon. In other words, sense objects. The sense organs belong to the body, and the sense objects seem to belong to the world, but both are the manifestation of the gunas, the qualities of prakriti only. How is this possible? One and the same truth can divide itself both as the experiencer and also the experienced. That's what we are doing. Every single day, whenever we have a dream, we divide ourselves as the experiencer as well as the experienced. So the Lord is telling, he is the wise person. Tattva vittu. Tattva means truth. What is the truth? The self doesn't has nothing to do with either knowership, agentship, enjoyership, or desirership. Whereas it is the nature, prakriti, in the form of the sense organs. In other words, simple words, the body and mind that desires and that knows and that enjoys and feels sometimes miserable, sometimes very happy, and this both experiences of happiness as well as unhappiness is called bhava bandhana. Then the Lord also is clarifying, okay, Arjuna might be thinking, but what about most of the people in this world are only ignorant people? So should you go on giving them sermons? The Lord says that is not going to really help. So prakrutehi gunasammudhaha sajjante gunakarmasu tan akrutsnavitu mandan krishnavit na vichalaye. Those deluded by the qualities of nature are attached to the functions of the qualities. The man of perfect knowledge should not unsettle the foolish who are after all of imperfect knowledge. So what is the Lord trying to tell us? That you encourage the ignorant people to say that, yes, yes, you are the knower, you are the desirer, and you are also the enjoyer. Slowly upgrade them. There are lower types of knowledge and higher types of knowledge. For example, when a man wants to eat, he can go and straight start gobbling up. But the wise man says, my friend, I guarantee you much more happiness. You just bring your favorite food, take it to the temple, offer it to the Lord, meditate and pray to him, and then feel that you are a devotee of God, and then enjoy to your heart's content as prasada, and then In the second chapter, we had seen what is prasada, what is the effect of prasada. Prasade sarvadukkhanam hanirasya upajayate prasanna chetasu buddhihi pari avatishtate. When a devotee, that is how we were not born devotees, we were made devotees by imitating the footsteps of great people. Our parents go to the temple, we go to the temple. Our parents bow down, we also bow down. Our parents offer something to the divine, and we also. And our parents teach us, this is prasad of the Lord, very sacred, he will be very happy with you. And then, with naivety, we do that. Why do I say naivety? Naivety means not foolishness. Naivety means without understanding, doing something is called naivety. But when we grow up, we understand that this way I squeeze more juice from the same apple than before. So this is how a wise man, first of all, should never teach something to the ignorant people, which they are anyway incapable of understanding. On the contrary, encourage them exactly to do the same. But telling them, okay, before you start anything, you do namaskara to the Divine Lord. After finishing the job, do namaskara. And exercise a little more concentration. And offer it to the Divine Lord. And ultimately, you enjoy the prasada. So a gradual evolution. Evolution always means a movement from a lower state to a higher state. This is how we had become evolved. And it is a granted truth that nobody, no saint falls from the sky. We were all ignorant people. But in course of time, nature teaches us better things. It purifies us. It makes us refined. Samskruta. And this Samskruta, in fact, is done in the form of samskaras. So slowly we come to know that from the same action, from the same offering, from the same activity, we can derive much, much greater benefit. Perhaps our devotees can recollect. One Swami Vivekananda met Robert Ingersoll, was supposed to be a non-believer in God. And then Swamiji asked, what is your philosophy? And the Ingersoll replied, my philosophy is to squeeze as much juice from an orange, the orange called this world, as possible. And Swami Vivekananda said, why only one orange? Because if you squeeze one orange, it becomes useless. But I have a secret. I can squeeze the same orange again and again and again, get much more juice than you can ever hope to get. How does it happen? It is this. Do everything in this world as a divine offering to the Lord and enjoy it as prasada. Not only offering food, but by that what we mean, whatever we are seeing through the eyes, whatever we are hearing through the, whatever we are smelling through the nose, whatever we are tasting, capable of tasting through the tongue, and whatever we are capable of experiencing through the skin, the organ of sense, organ of touch, everything I offer to the Divine Lord. And that means 24 hours, as long as I live, whatever I do, sarvam karma shimbho, tava egyat karomi karma tatta dakhilam shambho tava aradhanam. Whatever activities I am doing, Vaishiva, is all the greatest offering to you. This is how a wise person slowly encourages the ignorant person to turn himself into a gradual knower of self. The question that comes now is, why should this wise man take so much of trouble? After all, what is there? What is there? Because as soon as a man becomes wise, he understands there is only one God, one self, and there is nothing else. That means the persons who appear to be not only ignorant, but evil and ferocious nature, the nature of Asuri Prakruti, demonic nature. They are also nothing but the tamasic manifestation of the Divine Mother Prakruti. Here, let me deviate a little bit and explain what is this Prakruti. Prakruti evolves into the whole world consisting of two things, the experiencer and the experience. The experiencing instrument is called body-mind, and the experienced object is called the world, all the objects in this world. But then, the Prakruti most famously manifests in the form of three gunas. We are talking the gunas of Prakruti. These three gunas are the well-known sattva, rajas, and tamas. So, now, what is called evolution? Gradually promoting ourselves from tamas to rajas, from rajas to sattva, and from sattva, complete identity with the divine law. And sattva guna manifests itself in the form of knowledge, in the form of the highest bliss. Rajoguna manifests in the form of insatiable activity and terrible restlessness of the mind. And tamas, of course, manifests itself stupidity, torpor, laziness, idleness, ignorance, mistaking untruth as truth and truth as untruth. But the important point for us to remember, Prakruti or Maya or Avidya or Shakti is not an enemy of human being. Therefore, as we discussed earlier, in the context of every wise man being a role model, what the wise person does and what he should do is that if a person is found to be full of tamas, slowly he will direct him to be a little more active, a little more rajasic, a little more active. And when a person acquires rajas, then he will show the way. Rajas is okay, but if you want more happiness, you have to evolve further. And this he does in the form of cultivate more sattvic quality. And how to do it? Through food, through sleep, through activity, through entertainment, etc. Let me give you, because there are wonderful examples. Swami Vivekananda, when he went to West, he studied Western society, said these people are full of tremendous rajas, activity, the lovers of their country, and they are trying to evolve, but they could not evolve because there is no way for them, and no one wants to show them the way that rajas is a wonderful quality, but you have to mix it slowly with sattva guna. How sattva guna can come? You can meditate, you can pray to God, you can do service to this society in the spirit of non-attachment. These are the things he preached. Now, at the time of Swamiji, Indian people used to think they are very wise people, not knowing they are the ultimate fall down of manifestation of tamoguna, pure ignorance and idleness, priding themselves. They are very wise people, etc. You know what he advocated? He told them that it is time for you to eat meat, because eating meat is the one of the good ways of promoting rajas. Naturally, some of the stupid people counter-questioned Swami Vivekananda. Swami, our scriptures tell himsa is mahapapa, and you are advocating us to commit more sin by killing animals. Then Swami Vivekananda said, no, you are committing the greatest sin by choosing to remain idle people, what he called ghor tamasic people, terrible tamasic people. I don't see any other way. You better kill animals, you better eat meat, and then you get a little bit rajoguna and you act. You become very active, and you, at the beginning, you become very selfish. You will trample everybody down. You try to cheat everybody and all those things. This is exactly what is happening in India today. The only limit is thou shalt not be caught. Otherwise, you can break all the 10 commandments. The 11th commandment is thou shalt not be caught. If perchance, if Swami Vivekananda comes here, would he be feel sad at the condition of India, or would he be glad to see this country? My personal opinion is, he would be extremely happy because previously these fellows were sleeping, now at least they are awake. Because to cheat, you have to be very alert, very much awake in life. Otherwise, you will be caught in the very first instant, as some stupid people have already demonstrated. So the point Swami Vivekananda says is not eating meat or not eating, not eating meat, refraining from eating. The point is, you are a human being and it is your divine right to manifest your divinity. At the moment you are in the lowest state of the Prakruti's guna called Tamoguna, now you have to develop Rajoguna. So Swami would be very happy to see that most of the Indians are extremely happy, even though they are doing it. But he knows that once Rajoguna comes, it has to work itself out. But after certain amount of time, just as it is happening in the West, many people are seeking something else and actively trying to calm themselves down. And how did it come? Because for a long time, for several centuries, they had been enjoying the bounty that they could create through their technological scientific knowledge. And the same thing will happen to India today if Indians also follow their lead. There is no other way. Swamiji's point is not advocating eating meat. The point is to evolve yourself from tamogunis to rajoguna. And then gradually, after a bit of your enjoying tendency becomes a little weak, then it is time for you to turn your attention inward and go forward towards God. Therefore, the Lord now advises Arjuna how to discharge one's duties. This is part of the Karma Yoga, how to discharge one's duties. Important points we had already discussed. Still, I will translate it for you. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvara. Renouncing all actions in me with the mind centered on the self, free from hope and egoism, ownership, free from mental fever, you do your action, which is in this case, fight in this Kurukshetra war, O Arjuna. The whole life is a battlefield. Do not think Arjuna was a particularized person. That was a spiritual aspirant, as we discussed earlier. At that point of time, the situation was, he was the leader of soldiers, so he had to fight. But then after the war, did the Lord command him to fight all the time? Once that war is over, then the only thing that the person needs to do is whatever actions, duties, next duty of Pancha Pandavas. What is it? To righteously and positively, intelligently rule the country given to their charge, and see that they do it as a worship to God, and at the same time make other people also as happy as possible. This is what he is saying. You renounce all actions in me. That means don't feel you are the knower, don't feel you are the desirer, don't feel you are the actor, don't feel you are the enjoyer. But I am the knowledge, I am the desirer, I am the actor in the form of Prakriti, and ultimately who enjoys? Prakriti acts, Prakriti enjoys. Body and mind act, body and mind enjoy. You just provide them with sufficient moral support, which is called consciousness, pure awareness. With the mind centered on the self, earlier he said me, and here he used the self, the same verse, indicating when I use the word me, that is the self. When I use the word self, that is again me only, the divine. And do not hope what type of result you are going to get back. And do not feel that I am the owner, I am the actor, I am the enjoyer. Free from mental fear means rajoguna, from the quality of rajas. As I mentioned just now, what is the manifestation of rajas? Mind becomes very restless. That is called by the divine Lord fever. And you do fight. Here fight means to be substituted. Whatever your present duty, you will have to discharge it in this sense. So if somebody does it like that, what is the result? And if someone neglects to obey this divine commandment, it is a commandment, it is an adesha. If someone neglects to follow, then what happens? Here is the Lord is crystal clearly telling. Those who follow me, what do they get? They become free. That means they will be enjoying life infinitely and eternally. This is also called moksha or mukti. So the Lord says, Eme matamitam nityam anutishthanti manavah shraddhavanto anasuyanto mochyante tepi kammavih. Those men who constantly practice this teaching of mine with full of faith and without doubting, without cavilling, they are also freed from actions. Last class I discussed what is inaction, not sitting quiet. A person completely fulfilled, who is satiated with the bliss of the Atman, and that is another name for inaction, non-action. So the Lord is telling, those who have faith in what I am talking about, and those who discharge their duties in the prescribed manner, such people become freed from all samsara bandhana. Not only they become free, they become the greatest bliss, blessing anybody can become to the whole world. But then, what is the fate of the people who do not follow the divine Lord? Those who refuse to follow my will, they court destruction. What does that mean? They will be roaming in this wheel of samsara, sometimes happy, sometimes unhappy. I will dwell on this subject a little later. Etvetadabhyasuyanto nanutishthanti me matam sarvajnana vimudhamstan vithi nashtan achetasaha. But Arjuna, those who carpet my teaching and do not practice it, they are deluded not only in spiritual knowledge but in all knowledge, and devoid of discrimination, know them to be doomed to destruction. Swami Ranganathanji Maharaj correctly pointed out that the West, in spite of their superior scientific knowledge and with the aid of innumerable objects, gadgets, why should they become so mentally sick in such large numbers? Only for one reason. they have segregated the divine Lord, forgot him, and they thought that we can be very happy. In other words, they are acting just like the most ignoramus people in the whole world. So those who do not have faith in what I have taught, and of course if they do not have, they will not practice it, and they are deluded in all knowledge means whatever knowledge they gain, that will not give them the desired effect. And devoid of discrimination, they don't know what is right, what is wrong. Discrimination is the faculty of knowing what is right and not knowing what is wrong, to segregate between them and to think what is wrong is right and what is right is wrong, and inevitably get confused and become unhappy and to do wrong actions and end up experiencing unending sorrow and unhappy. So therefore, you better take my teaching. Is the Lord really advocating that the Lord is, you just believe me, swallow what I am talking? He says, no, you listen. God has given you, I have given you, tremendous amount of capacity to understand in the form of reason, rationality. Man is a rational animal. So you use your rational power and try to understand what I am talking. And if you are rational, you will understand I am right. And therefore, if I am right, if you understand I am right, that means you follow and then you will see the results. And you will prove that you are right by following my advice and personally experiencing less unhappiness and more happiness. What I wanted also to tell, this Prakriti is what has become the body and mind. And we know about the body. There is a point of time when the body is born and constantly it goes on changing. It may be for 1 hour, it may be for 100 years. But at the end, it becomes fetus, then a baby, then adolescent, then youth, then middle age, then old age, then diseases will come. Ultimately, the body has to. And that is the greatest source of unhappiness if you are not a wise person. Even the wisest person has to pour to death, destruction of the body, because that is its true nature. What about the mind? Swami Vivekananda compared the mind of a human being to a monkey. Not an ordinary monkey, a monkey which is drunk. Not only a drunken monkey, it is stung by a scorpion. Not only such a monkey, but possessed by a demon. Who can describe the feverishness of such a mind? So by nature, Prakriti, that is Rajas, make us very restless. We are stung with jealousy. When we look at the other persons who are in a better position than us, we cannot tolerate. We don't stop to think that if they are having something better, it could be better body, better mind, better outer circumstances, we don't stop to think they must have deserved it to get them. So if you want them, you also should follow their lead. You also produce the causes which will bring you those effects. That is a much better way of living. But no, even if I am not happy, I cannot tolerate others being happy. This is called jealousy. And then of course, 24 hours. When is it that we are free from this demon called pride? I am the greatest in this world. So the Lord is telling that is those who exclusively identify themselves with body and mind alone, not giving slightest chance for the discrimination to find out that behind both the body and mind, there is this energy and there is this knowledge, and that wisdom and the energy belong to the divine Lord. And if we can have that knowledge, we can enjoy our life better. We can use this body and mind better, and that is how we evolve and we also become wonderful role models for everybody. The essence of what we discussed today is a wise person is one who primarily identifies himself or herself with the Atman, but doesn't deny the validity of the body and mind. He goes on discharging his duties, not only to make progress in his own personal life, but also unconsciously becoming wonderful role model, a bright example for other people. And if we also follow the Divine Lord's advice, that is to feel, I am not doing anything, I am not doing anything, I am not enjoying anything, it is the Prakriti which is doing, and it is Prakriti which is doing, but I do not need to know, I do not need to desire, I do not need to enjoy, because I am knowledge, I am the highest bliss, I am Satchidananda. Such a person becomes free, and he also inspires other people to become free. I close today's talk with this beautiful thought that one such great soul like Krishna, today thousands and thousands of people renounce the world trying to follow the footsteps of Krishna, trying to imitate the footsteps of the Jesus, trying to follow the footsteps of the Buddha, trying to follow the footsteps of Ramakrishna Paramahansa and Swami Vivekananda. We will explore the beautiful consequences of Prakriti, how it binds us, primarily in the form of undesirable desires like kama and krodha, lust and anger. What is their relationship to the Prakriti? This is the subject we will discuss in our next class. Om Vasudevasutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam